Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The images that we are seeing in Brooklyn Center look like Beirut to me. I don't recognize what's happening in my own backyard. 100 people last night rounded up, taken to jail, placed on a 36-hour hold, without an ability to bail out, bond out, get out. Sunday does not count. Race and police brutality are in the spotlight. Protests are erupting not just here in our backyard, but across the United States. There is a crisis in our country. And many people, including my next guest, saw it coming and have been talking about it for a long time. Defund, abolish, or reform police? That's the question I want to ask University of Minnesota Professor Keith Mays about. He joins me on the Shaletta Show. Dr. Mays, thank you so much for being a part of this discussion.
Oh, thank you, Shaletta, for inviting me.
I know you have a busy day. Everybody is pulling at you. They want your perspective because you have been on the front lines and an expert about race in America for quite a long time. And when we look at the history of this country, this is not anything new that is happening. Why are we so shocked about it now?
I think, like the old cliche, the revolution or the brutality is being televised, being captured by amateur photographers, ordinary people who, when they see, a matter of fact, they don't even have to see an injustice. They are anticipating an injustice at the hands of the police. So those cell phones cameras are going on. And I think they need to. We need to actually see, I think, Will Smith online about the difference is that it's being captured. It's not that it's been an uptick or it's an increase in incidences. This is what has been going on all the time. We are finally capturing these moments in real time. And I think that it has come to the shock of many. And it's now starting to move the country, and hopefully it moves the country in the right direction. And you used three strong verbs. You said abolish, defund, and reform. Mm-hmm. And it's looking like reform is a pipe dream, and abolish and defund may be necessary.
You know, they've had a long time to get it right. And it seems
Absolutely.
Like it's going in the opposite direction. We have, you know, talked about racial sensitivity training. We have talked about increased training. My poor little old child, 14 years old, went to Senator Kerry Dietzick years ago crying because he knew he had special needs siblings and two of his brothers could not talk at the time. And they worked together for 4 years to fund officer training so that they would understand how to handle people who have autism if they encounter them. And now, 4 years later, my 14-year-old son said, Mom, that's not going to help, is it? And what am I supposed to tell him, Dr. Mays? Because chances are it probably won't. Why are we now at a point of abolish and defund when we have spent millions of dollars across the country on reform and nothing has worked?
You know what? That's a very good question. And I think that it takes social movements to raise the issues and to force us to look at the issues from different angles. But social movements shouldn't have to do that, because we thought we had well-meaning people. If you don't have well-meaning people, do you have smart people? We mm-hmm. thought in these agencies, in state legislatures. So I was looking at the proposal from Ithaca, New York. They have something called Police Community Solutions. And mm-hmm. just the word solutions is really, really good, because it talks about all the ways in which police may encounter different kinds of people in the street mm-hmm. or in a home or at a school. And you cannot show up with a police force who only knows how to police in one kind of way, mm-hmm. dealing with one kind of individual. There are people out there with a myriad number of issues. And so you don't need someone with a taser or a Glock out of their holster as the solution to the problem in which you were called for, right? So mm-hmm. this whole thing about solutions, looking at that holistically and looking at the interactions of residents and communities with police officers, I don't know why it takes so much effort and so many lives, so many deaths to get us to the point where we can look at different models. Are we not mm-hmm. a smart people? Are we a stupid people? Yeah. Unless your letter, the will is not there to change. We don't want to mm-hmm. change. We want to keep doing what we're doing. I'm very cynical when it comes to that stuff, because I think that yeah. power is operating at the center of these interactions and the call for change and not wanting to change and not wanting to see communities of color and treat them as though they're a people. I think there's some other kinds of things going on in the minds of people who are in powerful positions. There's something going on in the mind psychologically. They don't want to change.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking to David Goldenberg from the Anti-Defamation League on my show earlier this week. And, you know, he said, well, we have to root out bias. I said, but how can you root out racism? You can't train away racism. And what we have to look at is we have racist police officers that have infiltrated our law enforcement community across the country and right here in Minnesota. And until we start talking about that and the FBI has investigated and found that to be true, we are going to continue to have a problem. We have white supremacists in our police departments all across the country. Look at this African-American woman, 15 years after she stopped a fellow law enforcement officer who was white from, attacking a black suspect. She finally is vindicated because she lost her job and was about to lose her pension.
You have police officers who are on forces who come to work every day with murderous intentions on their mind. We have to raise this as a question, Shaletta, that mm-hmm. there are people who do a certain kind of job, and when it comes to firearms and weaponry and you're trained to use it, you may actually want to use it on a particular people who you have grown to hate. Maybe you've always hate them. And so that situation with that young man in Chicago is telling to me, only because the camera showed that even if he was part of a group who was shooting, when the police officer got up on that young man, that teenager, and said, put your hands up, and he put them up, and it was clearly shown that he didn't have a gun in his hand. Now, maybe he threw the gun away. I don't care what he was doing, what he threw. He didn't have the damn thing in his hand when he put his hands up. And you can see that clear as day. And when the police officer pulled the trigger, one has to ask themselves, did the police officer have the intent on killing this man, this little boy, anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No matter what he would have done.
No matter what the situation was, because it seems like the police officer did everything appropriate up to that point. Now, why the hell he couldn't hold back that bullet?
That final shot.
That there was no gun in that little boy's hand.
Yeah.
See, then you have to start asking questions, Shaletta, that What's on the minds of these police officers? Are they intentionally killing our young babies? And mm-hmm. the answer to that question may be a resounding yes. We better put that question out there on the table.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to give them that to chew on. Hold on. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, why are more people not talking about this? The elephant in the room. The FBI has documented there are white supremacists on police forces around the country, and nobody is saying anything or doing anything to change that and get them away from communities of color and out of law enforcement. Why can't we talk about that openly? Why can't we have that conversation and really be honest? Because us being Minnesota nice is getting black men killed. We're going to have that frank discussion after this. It's 121. You're listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, talking to Dr. Keith Mays from the University of Minnesota, wondering why, Dr. Mays, we are not talking about the elephant in the room, that we have white supremacists on police forces across the country, and nobody is doing anything to get them off the force. To try and identify who they are based on the complaints. I mean, we look at, you know, it's playing out in the courtroom as the Derek Chauvin murder trial takes place. It's going to closing arguments on Monday. And the number of complaints from people in the community about his behavior, we look at it in Chicago and Portland. We look at it right here in our own backyard in Brooklyn Center. African-American, especially men, young men, are being killed by police. And we just keep asking protesters to be peaceful, and we're not asking the police to behave.
If the January 6th insurrectionists showed up at the Capitol, and they were from all walks of life, and they were people who had white-collar jobs, blue-collar jobs, you had folks who were in the military or formerly in the military, why is it out of the realm of possibility that some of these folks are not on police forces around the country, right? And so the mm-hmm. question I have is, and I think you raised it, this is not about implicit bias or unconscious bias. This is not about training. This may be about having folks on these forces who not only have anti-black sentiments, but just may hate these folks through and through. It's one thing that if I have a bias against a person from another community, it's another thing if I hate their guts. I just hate them as a people. And so if I'm on a police force and I'm charged with policing the communities and providing the service, protect and serve, and I hate these folks, it's a possibility that I may actually have encounters of what we've seen in Brooklyn Center. Taser, 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 and then I shoot you with my Glock? Come on. We know what that was about. We have to ask the additional question beyond what the police want to say, that it was a mistake. Beyond the mistake, was it intentional, and what are the ways that it could have been intentional? I think that's what your question speaks mm-hmm. to, because mm-hmm. we have to peel back the layers and ask, who are these people? We have to say, if there's anything in their history that would suggest, as you just said, right, with Chauvin had all these complaints. That's why he mm-hmm. wanted to get his butt on the stand, because mm-hmm. he knew that was going to be made a focal point of the case. So our community has been crying out and saying for decades that police officers act in a way, when the cameras are off, they act in all kind of ways that you can imagine, that you can't imagine, that in many ways of the assaults, the brutality that are exhibited on black males and females, that people have some stories to tell about their encounters with the police that didn't end up with them dying, but they sure as hell ended up with them getting beaten up. Mm-hmm. And we have to ask ourselves, who are these people on these police forces?
I mean, we look at it now playing out where they don't want journalists out there documenting the protests. And you have to go to court so that journalists can do their jobs. what they have a constitutional right to do, which is be, you know, the voice and the eyes and the ears of citizens who can't be out there, and to document history. We're living in historic times. And for the police to start rounding up journalists, and, you know, Reg Chapman has to show his credentials, and some journalists oftentimes, you know, are threatened. You know, with arrest, you know, threaten, you know, have their equipment taken to the point where you got to go to the courts to do your job when law enforcement clearly knows the law, because they're charged with carrying it out, that people like me and Jonathan and Mark Fry and Al Shock and Steve Simpson would need a judge to remind them that we are here to do our job. That you know, that speaks to me and tells me that if you don't want somebody to see what you're doing something wrong and you're hiding something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They want to be the ultimate power on the streets. And here's where their behavior gets checked only partially. When you get a fair jury trial, when you pull their butts into court and they have to answer for their actions. And so you have a different kind of power that may side with them, right, but may not. So that prosecutor, that judge, that jury can serve as a check on their behavior, or that civil lawsuit that requires them to pay millions of dollars to a family, right? That's why people want that money to come out of their doggone pockets. So they think twice about that, right? So all of this stuff has to we have to figure out ways to curb and check their power on the street. Because they want to be the ultimate power out there. And so when it comes to time, the journalists and anybody else doing their jobs, they want to try to crack down on that. But that tells you something about their behavior. They know that their behavior is untoward. What's deep to me about the whole thing with the body cams is that they fought that for years and didn't want that. But they'll keep the body cams off sometimes. And what's deep to me, Shaletta, is that they'll do the same. Some of the folks are doing the same thing they do with the body cam on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure out a way to get around that.
Oh, my God. You know, you look at, you know, the George Floyd video, and you look at Derek Chauvin's knee on his neck. And the thing that got me was he never flinched. He sees these cameras. You know, people thought, you know, when I was talking to people, they were like, well, there's only one cell phone camera video. I said, no, honey, see, I'm on the ground. I'm talking to people. I'm out there. I'm with my children marching and protesting. So I've seen the other videos that people are too scared to post, that they are afraid for their lives to make public. Darnella Frazier is just young enough that she doesn't understand that that she needs to be afraid, which is why she's winning awards for being brave. And so when all these other cell phone videos come out and you see it from all these different angles, because I know I saw at least 8 different ones, you know, all these different angles come out. He never flinched. It wasn't even like somebody's watching me. I better do right. Somebody's looking at me. I better straighten up. Somebody's looking at me. I better stop. He, in that moment, didn't care whether somebody was looking at him or not.
You know why? Because he knew he had that qualified immunity to protect him. He knew that he had other kinds of internal measures that only police officers know about and how they protect themselves. This whole blue wall of silence has all kinds of mechanisms that kick in to protect them. Qualified immunity is probably just one. So that's what I'm saying. We need to go in and sweep all of that up. But that's why the community keeps calling for abolish, Shaletta, because they don't trust the internal processes, whether it's BCA, whether it's the Internal Bureau of Investigations, whatever they may call it. You got folks who are responsible. Their job is to investigate incidences that occur, but no one trusts that. So they don't trust the process, the investigation process, and neither do they trust the police to carry out their duties on the street in real time with the cameras on them. So that's why folks are saying that we need to get rid of the whole system and just come up with something different. They're not saying abolish and we don't want nothing. We want lawlessness. That's not what the community is asking for. They're saying that we want a different kind of policing structure.
Yeah, and we have to have something, because you can't keep treating one group of people one way and one the other. I was talking to Jason DeRusha at WCCO-TV, and, you know, he told me, he said, if it works completely fine for me and it doesn't work at all for you, then that system is broken and it needs to be fixed, and reform is not going to get it. What, in your expert opinion, studying this, having a PhD, being a professor and a historian, what, in your expert opinion, needs to happen for it to get better?
I think we really do need to take every single police department in Minneapolis and in St. Paul and in the seven-county metro area and try to reform them, not reform, but replace them with something different. You don't have to get, first of all, we need to do what you said. We need to vet the people who are on the force right now, because they may be out and out white supremacists and racists. So we need to purge them out of these departments. Number one, we need to restructure what we are calling policing, community policing. And, mm-hmm. and like I said, I like the Ithaca, New York model. It's a proposal. It may pass, but it looks like it's going to be a system that at least suggests that when you call for police help, we may not necessarily send a police officer with a service revolver on his waist to come and assist you if that's not what's necessary. So I think we need to change the whole entire practice of policing. That needs to be, and these lawmakers are standing in the, well, sorry, I don't need to do that on air, but they're standing in the way, mm-hmm. right? These state legislators, these senators, and these reps are standing in the way because they have the backing of police and law enforcement officials. They got all these lobbyists. They folks do not want to see these changes, but we got to demand that the state change these laws and force this on municipalities and towns and to change these practices. Get rid of them and let's do them over. Scrap them and let's do them over. Let's do it over.
Yeah, it's got to be that way. Dr. Keith Mays from the University of Minnesota, always a fiery and fun conversation with you. Thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Shaletta. I appreciate it. Thank you.